Kingway, Spock's beard, look, his action very weird. Captain Pike, Sisko's wife, Klingons and the afterlife. Boimler, Tendi's dog, Ransom is very harsh. Spore drive, Black Alert, Giorgio has gone berserk. He's a bad left, Edward is an idiot, Spock is dead, Worf is wed, Chekhov's wearing red. Data's cat, Kempak's at, Q has had enough of that, beam me up, make it so, everybody let's go.
We hung about a series, you can join us live by picking up your phone now. We talk about a series, we're coming to you on your streaming services now. We talk about a series,
well, good evening, Trekkies and Trekkers around the globe. With that awesome song, it's time for Trek Talk, and it's Monday night. It's 7:30 p.m. Eastern Coast time. That means we are live. You can give us a call at 646-668-2433 and join our conversation. Before we get too far, though, I want to introduce to you guys our Trekspurts for tonight. Let's start off with Eric. Eric is out in Portland. How you doing tonight, Eric?
Oh, man, I am having a great afternoon, Jim. It's 4:30, of course, here on the West Coast. We've still got plenty of light going on, 76 degrees, 46% humidity. Beautiful day in a beautiful city. I love Portland, and I love talking Trek.
Well, let me tell you, it is pouring rain here in Vermont again. The sky opened up and crashed. Down it came. But, hey, that's what happens. Wait 10 minutes and the weather changes, right?
It's true.
So, and anyways, we also have with us from Portland as well, David, the donut guy. How you doing tonight, David?
I'm doing good. Everything Oak said, that's great.
It's true. I got
this
my window
true.
Open. I'm sure David does too.
Well, I've been, let's swing all the way over to my final co-host tonight, Charles. And Charles is out in Las Vegas. Is it raining out there, Charles?
Parts of town have seen rain, but so far the storm's missing us. Another monsoon's passing over again. We've had monsoons since last Thursday. I've seen a little bit of rain, but not much. I think south of us right now.
You can have all of our rain, that's for sure.
You know, Charles, I was going to say, every time, Charles, you say monsoon, I think of this book series I read because my kid read it and she wanted me to read it. And I learned that in some parts of the world, there are six seasons. There's our normal four seasons that we all think of in the West. And then there's monsoon season and pre-winter season. So, you know, yeah, it sounds like you've at least got a fifth season there in
No, our summer, most of our summer is monsoon season.
Ah, there you go.
Well, you know, like they say on Game of Thrones, winter is coming, right? That's
oh,
the,
no.
Winter is coming. So anyways, guys, we have a really fun show planned for you guys. This is an interesting one because we've never actually – we've had a lot of actors on the podcast before, obviously. And we've had a lot of writers on the show, and we've had stunt people and special effects people. We've had comic book artists. We've had a whole array of different people on the podcast to talk to us about various trades that they do to bring the entertainment that we love so much to life. But tonight is a first for us because on tonight's podcast, we actually have a voice actor, somebody that actually goes into, like, say, your favorite movie. Let's just use Star Trek, for instance, as a coincidence. And let's say Star Trek happens to be playing in, say, Brazil, for instance. And Jonathan Frakes is speaking in English. So obviously, they're going to have to dub over his voice. And we have with us tonight on the podcast live the actual actor who to Brazilian viewers is known as the voice of Jonathan Frakes. So this is going to be a lot of fun. So we have with us Jose Augusto Sendom, who actually is a voice actor and a director of a dubbing and narrator for several award-winning HBO series, including The Game of Thrones, The Boardwalk Empire, The Newsroom, Girls, Ethel, and How to Die in Oregon. That one sounds interesting, doesn't it, Eric?
Sounds a little dicey. I don't know if I want to know about that.
Yeah, we. So, yeah, that one sounds very
interesting. How to Dine in Oregon?
Yeah.
You know, How to Die. Yep. We'll find out about that. But most notably, as far as we are concerned, as I said earlier, he voices Commander William T. Riker on Star Trek The Next Generation. He also voices Commander Chakotay on Star Trek Voyager, and he also, speaking of Winter is Coming, he also voiced Ned Stark on HBO's Game of Thrones. Unfortunately, Ned Stark was a very short-lived character, because every time I like a character, they kill him.
Damn.
And obviously, I love Ned Stark right away, and I think by the end of the second episode, he lost his head, or maybe it was the third episode. I'm not sure, but they killed him, and I was like, oh, man, my favorite character dead again. So in this case, it was Jose off with his head. So without any further ado, guys, I would like to introduce to you guys Jose and let you know our phone number here is 646-668-2433. And if you have any questions that you'd like to ask Jose, or if you just want to call up and say, hey, please give us a call, 646-668-2433. We'll be live for the next hour. We would love to hear from you guys. So welcome to the podcast, Jose.
Hello, can you hear us, Jose?
Jose?
Sending out messages to Jose.
Hello.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you, but are you hearing me?
Yes.
We're hearing you.
Oh, my God.
Yes. We hear you fine.
Yes. Okay. Very good. I just apologize for my English, which is very weak, right? And I will try to get a talking to with you.
Well, I can understand you just fine, and I think your English is perfectly good. So don't worry about that.
Thank you. Okay.
So
I don't have many words. So I have many things to talk, but not too much word. Many words.
That's fine. That's totally fine. So I wanted to ask you, obviously, how did you get into voice dubbing?
Well, I started acting in theater in 1981. In addition to theater, I participated in some film productions with some renowned Brazilian film directors, such as Walter Lima Jr. and Tezuka Yamazaki. 10 years later, I discovered dubbing and fell in love at first sight. I joined a dubbing course to learn the specific techniques of this type of acting and entered the profession of dubbing actor, or as you call it, voice actor. That's it.
How did you fall into the role of Star Trek and voicing or dubbing Riker?
Well, I'm not really, I don't know the word, assiduous, normal fan of Star Trek now, because I don't have time to watch. But I'm watching Stranger New Worlds. That is great. It's a great production, really. Well, I started watching Star Trek when I was a teenager in 1970s. I loved the show. And so I ended up to work on it as a voice actor. It's too much coincidence or very luck on my part. And after Next Generation, as you said, I voiced Chakotay on Voyager and the Vulcan Ambassador, Sobal, in Enterprise. Well, I mean dubbing branch of acting for 31 years. I'm doing this job. So I've dubbed many, many characters for these three decades. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, just fine. You're doing just fine. You're doing great. So I noticed.
Thank you. I'm trying.
You're doing just fine. It's just a couple people talking. I noticed that you did Ned Stark for HBO.
Yeah.
And so when you do a character like Ned Stark, are you aware that he gets beheaded before you start to do the character, or do you just find that out as you're dubbing him and say, oh, he lost his head?
Well, specifically about Game of Thrones, I didn't have all the season. Normally, I, as a dubbing director, I receive all the season, and so I study all the episodes, right? And I know what will happen over all that season. But about specifically Game of Thrones, I received two episodes I don't have all the words. Sorry, guys, I'm nervous because of this. I have many things to talk, but I don't have all the words. But I'm learning your language, and I will try. I'm trying.
That's okay. So, there's no pressure at all. There's no pressure.
Oh, please. Yeah. And about Game of Thrones, I didn't receive all the season. So I didn't know Ned Stark is going to die in the ninth episode. And I begin to dub Ned Stark, and in Brazilian voice, in Brazilian language. And when I discovered that he will die, really, I became shocked. This is, I think, that I can talk to you.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you understood me.
Same way. Yes, we were all very shocked as well.
I was really shocked when that happened. I was stunned.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was the guy that was seated on the throne.
I know.
You know,
yeah.
I
kill him
throne.
Right away.
Yeah, I didn't understand, really.
What?
I don't understand till
none
now.
None of us did.
And they killed him. I was with you, Jose. I was shocked that he was the reason I watched the show, and they killed him.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's just so.
Yeah.
Eric.
Yeah, Jose, it's a big honor to have somebody in your area of work right now on the podcast. We've never had a voice actor before, and so I'm really curious. You know, you said that you fell in love with it. You kind of gave us the story of how you got involved in voice acting. And I understand that voice acting is unique. It has unique things about it that other, types of acting don't think about as much. So I wonder if you'd like to talk just a little bit about how voice acting is unique as opposed to other types of acting.
Well, at first, there's an addictive thing, really. I'm addicted in dubbing.
Yes,
because
We all are, to our own thing. Yes.
Yeah. Let me... you enter in a studio. I'm looking for the right words, okay? Mm-hmm. Please, mm-hmm. be patient with me.
Mm-hmm.
I beg you. We enter in a studio, and we voice a little mouse in a cartoon. We leave the studio, enter in another studio. We voice a villain. For example, mm-hmm. Darkseid, the mm-hmm. Superman's main enemy. I am the voice of Darkseid in Brazil. Darkseid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And for example, another example. You enter into a studio, and you play a war hero or a superhero. You enter in another studio. You play a character of a video game. For example, uh-huh. I don't know if you play video games. Do you know Overwatch by Blizzard?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I am the voice of Soldier 76 in Brazil.
Uh huh.
So and this sometimes I think my profession is a game. It's a game.
Uh-huh.
Because I enter in a room in a studio, and I play some character. I enter in another. I play another, and this is I think that is a phenomenal exercise of acting. In acting.
Uh-huh.
It's a specialization of the actor job. I'm not sure if you understand. You understood what I said. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm trying.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, people. Okay, guys.
Yeah. No. What I understand is that there are two things that you really like. One is that you like the variety, so you get to do many different things. And two.
Yeah.
You get. The voice acting allows you to stretch your limits. You get to get to go all the way from one end of your limits to the other end, and you can play all of that maybe in one day or in one week or however long, you know, whatever your cycle is.
Sometimes in the same day.
In the same day. So there you go. Yeah. So that's amazing too, because so many of the actors we get on our show are shooting one character for multiple days. And here you are shooting multiple characters on one day. And so you really have to shift gears quickly.
There's a specification of dubbing, the acting as a voice actor.
Yes. So do you do your work at home, or do you do it in a studio?
Well, today, since 2020, I'm working at home in my home studio. So this is because I moved from Brazil to here. I'm in Florida now.
Ah.
Okay. Yeah, but I keep working to Brazil, but remotely mm-hmm. in my home studio.
Okay.
And this is because, I think that is it. That's it.
So when you are ready to record something, how do you warm up? How do you get your body ready?
Well, because voice acting, we don't use only our throat, right? We use all the body. There's it's like acting in a theater. The voice is the result of what you do with your body. If you mm-hmm. are jumping, your voice will
shake.
Leave your body.
Mm-hmm.
Shake. Yeah. And if you are carrying some heavy thing, your voice is different.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and you need to breathe hard, right? There's this acting in voice acting. But you can't jump into a studio, in a studio.
Yeah.
Because the noise that that you will you can do with your foot, your feet, sorry, feet, will be recorded. So you can't do it. You need to act literally in stuck.
Mime in French, almost like pretend, you know. What's another good word for it? Yeah, just I understand what you mean. You know, you pretend to do it, but you don't actually do it.
Sorry, I didn't understand you. That's okay, guys.
That's okay. No problem. Tell me more about your recording. So you are given a script, a list of the lines that you have to say. Do you record immediately, right away, after you are given that? Or do you have it for a while and do you study it before you record it?
No. We don't watch the movie before. I don't know what I will go. I'm going to record.
Okay.
This I discovered when the link between my home studio and the studio in Brazil is done, and so the dubbing director tell me what I will do. He tell me or she tell me tells me sorry. He tells me, you are doing this character. He's a young guy. He's a policeman. And you will die at the end. Okay, I know something.
Okay.
Yeah. but how I do? First, I watch the scene where the character is going to, the character I'm going to play is, I pay attention to his size and the strength he puts into his voice. If he's a big guy, the voice is different. Then he's a tiny guy. Oh, yes, I don't need much expression in my voice. Something like this. His profession and principally, mainly, the situation he's in. Of course, the first reference to the character are given to us by the script, as in theater, in theater and a film and a television performance. Yeah, but after that, the very scene we are going to dub says everything else. Some extra information is passed on. By the dubbing director. After getting to know the character a lot, we started rehearsing to act alongside what the original actor did. We need to repeat as almost like you become that guy, that character. But of course, we rehearse in our language, in Portuguese, spoken in Brazil.
Well, that is one of the things that I've noticed is I've seen a lot of movies that are dubbed, and there's a real art to being able to time your language, which has a different syntax, a different way that words fit together than the native language. And so you have to learn how to adapt the language you're speaking to the timing of the language that you're imitating.
Yeah, it's true. For example, in Star Trek, when the starship is over an attack, what the captain say? What captain says? Shields up, right? Shields up.
Yes, yes.
To protect the starship. So in Portuguese, shields up means levantar escudos.
Mm, whoa. Okay.
I need to say six syllables in two. And so there's sometimes I can get a magic and do it. But, yeah, we have many differences between the language. Mm-hmm. In Japanese, the interpretation is totally different from the American acting, the French acting, the many, the Brazilian acting. And we need to create, in my case, I need to create a Brazilian version of that acting, that type of acting that that actor is doing. I'm not sure, did you understand what I said?
Yes, yes, and some of it, this is why it fascinates me that you are able to do some of your work without seeing it first, because certainly with characters like Riker, where you are playing them many, many times, you develop the way that Riker is going to sound, and then you do it the same way every time. But with
it's
other
true.
Roles, you are developing the character as you're voicing the character, and so then that becomes the sound of that character forever in that language, right? Which is great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope if the character don't die, doesn't
right.
die, like, like Lord of Dark Stark.
Right.
I hope Jonathan Frakes or I hope Commander Riker can't die. I hope.
Well, so far he has not. So it's looking good so far.
Yeah. Yep. Well, listen, guys,
because
we have
this is an ancient, this is an old series, right? So I hope no one can change the series now. Let's retake the series. No. Keep Jonathan Frakes alive, please.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, we're going to take a very quick commercial break right now. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433. And we're talking with Jose, who does the Brazilian voice of Riker from TNG and Chakotay from Voyager, as well as Ned Stark from Lord of the Rings, or from Lord of the Rings, from what's wrong with me? Lord of the Rings. Should be shot for that one. Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So if you have any questions, please give us a call, 646-668-2433. And we're going to take a very quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
Hi there, this is Eric from Trek Talking. Do you own a business, produce a product, or are planning an event that would appeal to Star Trek fans? Would you like to harness the power of this podcast to get your message out to the world? We here at Trek Talking are a show made by fans for fans, and we would love to help you share your love of Star Trek on the air, live every Monday and Thursday night at 7:30 Eastern. Contact us through Facebook Messenger at facebook.com/trektalkingandbeyond, or email us using the contact link on our website at podpage.com/trek-talking. We can't wait to hear from you. Engage.
Don't miss Fandom Fest New York, featuring special guests, vendors, artists, esports, tabletop games, and so much more. Fandom Fest, a unique con experience at Proctor's, August 12th through 14th.
Have you always wanted to tour the Enterprise? Would you like to meet Jim and Eric from Trek Talking in a live setting? Then join us August 19th through the 21st in Ticonderoga, New York for Trek Conderoga 2022. Star Trek The Next Generation stars Gates McFadden, John DeLancey, and Brent Spiner will be headlining the event. Leading tours of the painstakingly recreated USS Enterprise TOS sets, participating in bridge chats, and much more. Trek Conderoga 2022 is your chance to meet some of your favorite Next Generation actors in a setting with small crowd sizes and easy accessibility to the stars. Don't forget to swing by the Trek Talking table to see Uncle Jim and Eric. We'd love to meet you. Engage.
And welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Jose, who is the voice of Commander Riker in Brazil. And as Eric just told you, we are going to be live at Trekonderoga. So you can check out the set tours and you can come and visit me. And Eric, you can pick up a Trek Talking shirt or a coffee mug and just hang out with us and have some fun. So check us out if you can. So we're back. We're talking with Jose. And Eric was right in the middle of an interesting conversation. So take it away, Eric.
Yeah, Jose, thank you so much. I'm excited to keep talking to you. And so let's talk about
some of these
amazing characters that you have been able to voice over the years. So I would love to hear some, if you don't mind, hopefully this is okay. I would love to hear some samples of some voices in Portuguese, in your language, of the various characters that you've played. And I have a few specific ones that I would like to ask you about. First of, and foremost, so we have been talking a lot about our favorite second in command of the Enterprise, Mr. Riker himself, who I think is one of the people you are most well known. So what does Riker sound like? Just give us any sort of line that you can think of maybe, or even just read us a menu. But how would Riker read the menu?
The menu, let me see, in Portuguese, right?
Yes, please.
Yeah, a menu, for example, aqui é o comandante William Riker, da USS Enterprise. Eu estou querendo aqui ovos mexidos com arroz e feijão. Mas, por favor, me traga um copo de leite também. Muito obrigado. This Commander Riker, I don't know if you understand anything, but I think not. But this is how Commander Riker asked for scrambled eggs, rice, and beans, and a cup of milk.
Ah, yes. Excellent. And he sounds like he has authority, like he's in charge. He's got this kind of deeper voice.
How I do the Riker's voice.
Yeah, so why do you do it that way? I'm curious. Tell us more about the way that you figured out how to do Riker.
Well, at the first episodes that I recorded, that I dubbed Jonathan Frakes on the Riker character, I was knowing. I was in a knowing process of how he acts and what Riker does, mm-hmm. and I think that I've learned it in a little time. You see, I don't have the right words in English. I'm sorry,
we
guys.
Understand.
Please,
no, it's okay. We understand.
Okay. And so I learned it. How Jonathan Frakes played the Riker,
mm-hmm.
and he was the commander.
Yes,
he was the number one of the captain of the Picard, and he needed to command. So he needed to have a heavy voice, a deep voice. And be direct in the point. And this is what I thought about when I was constructing my acting, my dubbing about the Riker.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So on the other hand, you have Commander Chakotay, which of course is the second in command for Janeway. And so how is Commander Chakotay different from Commander Riker?
Chakotay, Robert Beltran, right?
Yes.
Chakotay was a little softer he was softer than Riker. Uh-huh. Riker was a commander.
A manly man. Machismo.
Yeah. And Chakotay is something soft. And so the device that I constructed for Chakotay was something softer than the voice from Riker. And thank God I did it, because I don't know if you remember, there was one episode in Voyager that the character Q, arrived and appeared in mm-hmm. the starship, mm-hmm. and he brought the Commander Riker into that starship. We in studio didn't know what we could do. So in that episode, in that episode was something like I put the voice of the Riker's voice more strong.
Yeah.
And the Chakotay's voice more soft.
More soft, okay. Yeah.
But not a boy, not like a kid.
No.
But softer and harder. I tried to make some difference, and thank God they didn't talk each one.
Oh, together, yes.
Yeah, together, yeah. They didn't talk together. They didn't participate on the same scene.
Uh-huh.
Thank God for that.
Thank God, because that would have been very difficult. And because, of course, people can tell that it's the same actor. I know when I watch different animated series in particular, I know when I hear a voice that I've heard in some other animated series, right? So it's really about what the actor can do with that specific character.
You get the they are the same actor doing two different voices
in different series, so not in the same
and in
series,
the same series like the Simpsons, for example.
Yes. Oh, sure. Yeah. So you did the
I worked 6 years.
Yes.
I worked 6 years dubbing the Simpsons. And I did two characters.
Yes.
I did Apu, the Indian owner of a market.
Yep.
And Kent Brockman, the only existing TV reporter in Springfield, the city of the Simpsons. And so Apu has the voice like this. Oh, Manjula, não faça isso. Com as crianças, tire as crianças daqui. This is Apu. But Kent Brockman was a little different, like this. Eu sou Kent Brockman, diretamente falando da casa de Homer Simpson.
Yes.
Yeah, so I could do the two characters at the same scene.
Yeah, those are very, very different. So those are a little bit easier to do in the same scene because their voices are so different, right?
Yeah. There's one thing in the dubbing courses that I don't know the word, the right word. Oh my God, the course I do course of dubbing, okay, techniques in dubbing,
mm-hmm.
and in these courses I always say, please guys, like a kid, play.
Mm.
If you don't play, the thing doesn't happen. The dubbing doesn't happen.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. So really you have to play with the character in order to get the best performance out of yourself.
Yeah. You don't need to be shaman to make that character.
Yes.
To make that character needs. You need to play. Just play.
Yes. Are you familiar as an actor with vaudeville? That term.
Vaudeville.
Vaudeville. It's sort of an old time American type of theater and acting where everything is a little bit overdone, and it's overdone because you are on stage and people are seeing you from far away, and it's meant to be high entertainment for, you know, before you had televisions. And so I think about it that way, where there's a lot of animation to the way that you perform these characters.
Ooh, it's a good thing to do.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Who is your favorite character that you have ever voiced? Do you have one that you go back and you think, oh my gosh, I love this one?
Oh, I have many. I have many. For example, I really enjoyed Captain Raymond Holt, played by Andre Brocker in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I don't know if you know the show. Do you know this show?
I'm familiar
Brooklyn
with it.
Nine-Nine.
I have not seen it, but maybe others have. But yes, so you like that character?
Yeah, I play the Captain Raymond Holt voice. This is my voice.
Okay.
And there's another one that I like so much. Is the detective Sonny Carrizzi in Law and Order SVU.
Oh, yes.
Do you know?
Yes.
Yeah, Law and Order SVU. It's I forgot the name of the actor. Sorry. But Carrizzi, detective Carrizzi has my voice in Brazil.
Dominic Carrizzi, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, awesome. That is so cool. So, the actor's name is Peter Scanavino.
Yeah. This is the guy, yeah. And
so
I am his voice in Brazil.
Oh, I love it. And so in a week, like, you know, I think about my job, and my job is about 40 hours per week. You know, I go to the office, I come home from the office, it's 8 hours per day. What does your schedule look like as a voice actor? Do you have busy seasons and less busy seasons? Are you working 8 hours a day? What does your day look like?
Oh, my day, I don't have a right time to do things. Why? Because I work on production. If you have some production, you call me, you hire me, and I do that production, and I only stop when the production ends.
Uh-huh.
So I have 1 or 2 days with nothing to do. But the other day, I have 14, 16 hours in studio, and the other day is the same, and the other day is the same. That's a good thing. I like this kind of job.
Okay. It's not for everyone, but I think there are a lot of actors who like to work a lot, and it sounds like voice acting might be similar. Yes.
Yeah. There's an actor job like others. In theater, it's the same. For example, in a theater, you rehearse for a long time, 2 or 3 months. Not every day, but 2 or 3 times per week. And when you were presenting the play, the story, you need to work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at night, every weekend. And so this is a kind of job that an actor, a normal actor, has. I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just not a world that I am part of. So I wanted to ask you that question and see what your life is like. Jose, I have taken up enough of your time. I'm going to hand you over to my good friend Charles, who is a co-host of the podcast, and see what he would like to say to you. So thank you so much for chatting with me.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it, really. I thank you.
Good evening, Jose. I was curious. Hello. A couple of curious questions. I was curious of a couple of questions. One.
Okay. Go on.
If you're
go ahead.
Kind of given the script, how do you deal with the emotion that character may be feeling at certain times? Do you have to follow
the
script? Or kind of
the audio was not so good. Could you repeat, please?
How do you deal with a person's emotion when you're dubbing them?
Well, I'm an actor. I'm an actor. There's a special dubbing is a specialization of an actor job, an actor activity. So I, as an actor, I need to feel things. I need to be angry. I need to be sad. I need to cry. I need to love. There's a basically an actor job, like other.
Mm-hmm.
So you pretty much have to follow what the script kind of pushes in the scenes. One other question is, and I'm going to throw a strange word at you. We call it technobabble.
Technobabble.
Techno. But how do you deal with the funny word, the odd funny words that they throw at you on Star Trek?
A funny word?
Do you know that word?
I didn't understand you. Sorry.
So in English, we take the funny words that they say in Star Trek, like something that's not real, but they might make up a word for it. Like, I can't think of a good example,
give me the example.
We have to realign the polarity of the shields in order to reverse the, you know, something of something else. There's a bunch of funny.
My God. This is a
self-sealing stumble.
You told many, many words. many words.
Charles, what were you saying?
Well, let me try. Let me try to say what you said.
Self-sealing stumble.
Nós temos que reajustar a polaridade do raio trator para que a nave consiga retirar aquele asteroide da nossa rota.
Aha.
Did you understand anything?
Okay. Sure.
Wow. He nailed that.
Well, I think Charles's question is rooted in the fact that Star Trek has a lot of made-up words. And so when you translate those to another language, do you use the sound of those words as your basis for how to say them? You know, there are words that simply aren't words that must be translated. How do you say those?
This is a good question. Since the beginning, when we began recording Star Trek Next Generation, we had a group of fans, of Brazilian fans, Trekkers in Brazil, that helped us very much. They they gave us the
advice.
Words.
Yes.
Advice. Yeah. Yeah. They were beside us, accompanying, going together with us in the recording of the series, the show.
So if you had a question, you had somebody to ask.
Yeah. Just it.
That's great. And I love that the fans are getting involved there. That's like people like myself and Charles and Jim and David being able to be involved in an actual show. It's so exciting.
Of course. But why? I work for you.
I work for the
fans.
Yes.
This is my work. I don't have another reason. Yeah. I work to send entertainment. I work for you.
Yes.
But the Brazilian you. Yeah, you know?
Yes.
And who knows? who knows, I come here to work with you, Americans. Mm-hmm. This is my dream, too.
Yeah. Well, it's so exciting to have you talking to us. Yes, go ahead.
At first, I need to speak English. I think that's the first step.
Listen, you are doing just fine. English is 1,000% better than my Portuguese.
It's good.
Yes.
So, it's good.
So thank you for that.
Jose, let me ask you a question. Is there any possibility that you might be dubbing Strange New Worlds anytime soon? And if you do, which character do you see yourself voicing on Strange New Worlds?
Whoa, it's another good question. I would love to do many characters there, really, really. I'm watching in English because I'm not sure if it was dubbed. Many characters. I don't know if Spock or Pike or that one, I forgot the name, that white scheme with antennas. I forgot
Hammer.
The name.
Hammer.
Hammer, yeah. Oh, he's a very good character. He plays with no emotion, with a little bit of emotion, and it could be very good to do. Yeah, mm-hmm. But there's another one that dies.
Mm-hmm. I
know. Yeah. That's right. That's another one who dies.
Yeah.
So that means you'll probably end up doing since he died, right?
Yeah. I think that this kind of character loves me.
Well, I love Hammer is special because we say he is matter of fact. And what that means is that he says what he means and he means what he says, and that is what you get. Like, there's no more. There's no more to Hammer than that.
Simple.
You know? Yeah, simple.
Yeah. It's a good character to play. A very good character to play.
Yeah, I can imagine.
For example, Spock. About Spock. Spock. We know how Spock will speak something. You know.
Yes.
It's illogical.
Yeah.
It's logical. It's illogical.
Yeah.
It's logical. But it's a good thing. But Hammer is something different.
Okay.
I like it. Him very much.
So I think what we're hearing from you as a voice actor is that you like freedom. You like the ability to interpret characters in the way that you would like to. You like to play many characters in a single day if you get the chance.
Yeah, it's true.
Is this fair to say?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. So
it's
that's
me.
That's great, and because I feel like that is the essence of acting, right? That is, you talked about play. You talked about being able to play with characters. To me, an actor who is a really good actor who enjoys their job plays with their characters. They get into them. They move them around. They run them through their fingers and through their hair, and they smell them, and they really understand them at a very deep level. Quickly.
Yeah, you lend your body to that character.
Yeah. Oh, good.
You lend your body, your voice,
your
way of seeing things, watching things, another way to speak things.
Yeah.
A different accent. It's a playing. It's wonderful. It's awesome.
Yeah.
To be who you are not.
I got a quick question for you before we take off.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, so as a voice actor, do you ever, on your off hours, catch yourself, like, for instance, copying some of the actors' movements when, like, for example, the Riker maneuver or something?
Oh, sorry.
David is wondering if there is a connection to the way that the actual actor moves their body and the way that you voice them.
Well, this is...
can you guys not hear me?
This is a good question, too. Yeah, this is a good question, too. Well, Riker... Jonathan Frakes has a manner to move his body, not straight ahead, but a little. I don't have the word here. But it's not a straight line. He was. Let me see if I get
wiggly.
Crooked.
Yeah, there you go.
A little crooked. This is the word. And sometimes I need to use the voice to crook too. I'm not sure if the word is that, but it's this. But I understood your question. Yeah. In dubbing, when the character is walking fast, you need to go with him, with your breath, with your words, and you were running, and you keep going and keep talking, and you need to breathe, and you go together the character. I'm not sure if your question was about that, about this.
Well, and also, I think that and David was asking, so the Riker maneuver, which is where he puts his leg over the chair and sits down on the chair. David is asking if you do the Riker maneuver.
No, I can't. I'm in a studio. I can't move. Otherwise, every noise, the microphone gets kept. I can't move.
Yeah.
I can't move.
Okay.
If I move inside the studio, the sound, the noise will appear in the recording. So I can't move. So I stay stuck. I stay stopped. I stay freeze.
Yeah.
Frozen.
I was just wondering if you ever catch yourself during the off hours, like when you're not working. Do you ever catch yourself doing that?
Yeah, of course. When I'm not working, I put my foot on the chair, of course.
Oh. Cool.
Jose, we are out of time, believe it or not. We burned up a whole hour. Hard to believe, isn't it?
It's good.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with some fans about your experience on Star Trek and Game of Thrones. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm at your disposal, really.
And thank you so, so much, and we wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
It was a great pleasure to be here with you all. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about my profession as a Brazilian voice actor, and I thank you very much for your patience due to my English not being so good, and I apologize for that, really. Thank you, guys. You are awesome.
No, your English was just fine, Jose, and thank you so much for reaching out to me on our Star Trek page and offering to come on the show with us. I really appreciate it. And you have a great, great night, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Bye.
You too.
Good night.
Bye,
bye-bye.
Guys.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Bye. That was Jose, and he does the voice of Commander Riker and Chakotay and Ned Stark, who lost his head. And that wraps up our show. I'd like to say thank you so much to our very own Eric for hanging out and Trek talking with us tonight and putting together that awesome Trekonderoga commercial, which we premiered here a little while ago. Thank you so much, Eric.
Absolutely, Jim. And there's more to come where that came from. Jose was such a great guest tonight. I had a lot of fun with him.
Yeah, we're going to hear some more on Thursday. And thank you so much to David for hanging out and Trek talking and bringing the donuts. So thank you so much, David.
Yeah, this was fun.
And, of course, we can't go anywhere without saying thank you to our very own Charles out in Vegas. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you. Learned a lot about how voice acting is done outside our country.
Yeah, interesting. It's something I never would have thought of, but that's what we do here. We bring fans all kinds of different things about Star Trek. You never know where Trek Talking is going to go, do you? And I also want to say thank you so much. You never know. And we also want to say thank you to our very own Anna for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you so much, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think I lost her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I lost her. That's okay. That's fine. And I just want to let you guys know that we're not done. Oh, no, no. Thursday night, you guys want to join us. Our same bat time, same bat channel at 7:30 on Trek Talk. And because we have no new Star Trek, that's not going to stop us. We're going to have Joshua Michael Irwin and Cora Wilson from the Avalon universe. They have a brand new Star Trek fan film coming out called The Needs of the One. And Cora plays T'Pring in that movie. So we're going to talk about the movie. We have an advanced copy that we're going to watch so we can talk about that. And we're also going to talk to Joshua and Cora about what went into making that film and bringing it to life. So you definitely want to check that out. But wait, there's more. We're also going to have Mike McCord, who's the associate producer for Fandom Fest 2022 at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady. And he's going to come on with us and talk to us a little bit about that convention, which Trek Talking is going to be at as well. And of course, we'll have our Star Trek birthdays and our fan shout outs on Thursday night as well. Go over to our Facebook page, Trek Talking to Beyond. Give us a like, give us a follow. We'd love to hear from you guys. And without any further ado, I want to say, please stay safe and be good to each other. Star Trek fans are the best fans. Good night, everybody.
Night, y'all.
Good night.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.